The crucial yet productive years of the scattering time. It will be appropriate to further review and sum up what took place in the emerging remnant church in the 6 years between 1844 and 1850. 100 or more years later, some have been rather amazed and baffled because the pioneers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church were not engaged in public evangelism, preaching the message immediately after the 1844 disappointment. What message? Might be asked. And what's more, who would listen? First of all, there must be the lapse of some time when the prejudice of the world against the 1844 experience would diminish. But most important, they had to determine what was the truth, what was the message. Of prime importance was the Advent preaching that swept through the land in the early 1840s and was also heard in other parts of the world. Was it a movement led by God, or was it just a delusion, as many were claiming? The pioneers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as they carefully reviewed the experience, could not dismiss the marked influence of the Spirit of God in the work, and the absence of fanaticism. This, together with what the experience did for them, led to the unalterable conclusion that the movement was ordained by God. Bible study backed up by the visions given to Ellen Harmon attested to this, giving a touch of certainty to the messages of the first and second angels of. Next, why had not Christ come? And if the 1844 experience was valid, what did take place on October 22, 1844? The pioneers worked their way through this, finding the explanation in an understanding of the sanctuary question in its fullness. Christ was now ministering in their behalf in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. In connection with this, they found doors open and doors shut that were easily linked with the close of probation. Note, see for elaboration, the full extent of which was not at first seen. Almost immediately in their experience, the pioneers were brought face to face with a prophet in their midst. It was unexpected, but it was biblical. The message met their needs, and the gift, when tested by Bible criteria, measured up fully. This was a great aid but also an embarrassment, because of the natural prejudice against visions. Before the 1844 disappointment, the third angel's message had not been clearly seen. The pioneers having been through the first and the second, the third angel's message began to take on significance. It related to the observance of the Seventh-day Sabbath, although certain features of the message seemed to be a mystery. As the sanctuary in heaven was studied, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment took on special meaning. The visions given to Ellen White helped to clarify this. The Sabbath would be a test of allegiance to God, and his worship of the beast and his image and the receiving of his mark became better understood. The pioneers saw it as present truth and were confronted with the responsibility of sounding that message to the world. It was staggering. A great and vitally important message, but only a handful of people who comprehended its meaning. And these, for the most part, were virtually penniless. They were still close to the 1844 disappointment, and only those who had been with them in the Advent awakening would give any attention at all to what they might have to say. They studied doors in the heavenly sanctuary, open and closed, but there were no open doors before them to the religious world outside of the Adventists. So the burden of the third angel's message as first understood was for their former brethren. However, they gradually perceived that there were those who had not rejected the Advent message in 1844, and that there were children below the age of accountability for whom Christ ministered in the heavenly sanctuary. Then to James White, a youthful advocate of the Advent message, a schoolteacher who had the benefit of a year in school, came the message, presumably from heaven, that he must publish the positions of truth ardently held. He was inexperienced so far as editing and publishing were concerned, and with no financial backing. Admonished to start out by faith and write, he took his pen and began in the issuance of the four numbers of present truth. Through the school of experience, he rather quickly learned the demands of writing, proofreading, publishing, circulating, and financing the printed page. God was preparing him for large responsibilities. He and his wife were buffeted by brethren who misunderstood him, hounded by poverty, bereaved by separation from children so they could travel and minister to the scattered flock. But they enjoyed a rich experience in God, and with wholehearted dedication they gained the preparation needful for the work that was before them. All this was in the scattering time, 1844-1850. Now they were prepared to enter the openings of the gathering time. The message was clear. Doctrinal beliefs were for the most part well established. Wrote Ellen White on December 13, 1850, "We know that we have the truth.